fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
Syphilis, isn't that an archaic disease that some medieval kings have died from? Apparently not. Syphilis cases have more than doubled in WA since 2016 and is even more common overseas. So WA Health is launching the next stage of their Healthy Sexual campaign, encouraging people to talk, test and protect. Joining us in studio today to talk about all things syphilis is Donna Keeley, nurse practitioner from Fremantle Hospital. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you for having me, Maddie. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Donna, many people think that syphilis is an archaic disease that has long since been eradicated. What exactly is syphilis and how is it transmitted?
Sure. So syphilis is a sexually transmitted infection. So you can get that through having unprotected vaginal, anal or oral sex. But it can also be spread just through intimate contact or skin-to-skin contact with someone who's got the infection. So it's a very nasty infection because if you obtain it and don't get treated and have it for a long time, it can then actually go on years down the track to affect organs like your brain and your heart, your blood vessels, your spinal cord, your skin and your bones, and that can eventually lead to disability or even death. We're particularly concerned because mums who get syphilis can actually pass that on to their babies, and it's not good for babies at all. Babies can be born premature, stillborn, or have lifelong disabilities, which we call congenital syphilis, if they acquire that from the mum when the mum's pregnant. So it's a very, very serious disease. And as you just mentioned, our cases have risen dramatically in the last few years, and that's why we're trying to get the message out there about people getting tested for this.
It's very scary that it can have long-term effects. And as you said, as a mother is pregnant, it can pass on to the baby as well. I want to know, how would someone know if they had syphilis?
Well, the most concerning thing is that a lot of people don't know they've got it unless they happen to go and get tested. It's got different stages to it, and it starts off in what we call a primary stage. And if you do notice a symptom, it would be an ulcer. But the ulcers are usually painless, and they can be anywhere on the genital area or the bottom or even in the mouth if you've acquired it through oral sex. So you don't often notice these ulcers, and they do go away over time. So you may have picked it up and have no symptoms or no idea that it's there. And then if you don't realise that sore's there or do anything about it, that's when the infection stays in your body and the bacteria continue to go through the bloodstream and spread around. Then we move into the next stage where, you know, two to 6 months later, you might then get some other symptoms, but they're a bit non-descriptive. So it can be things like a rash or swollen lymph glands or things like headaches or pain. And that can apply to a lot of ailments that we get in the body. So even then, people don't always recognise that this could be syphilis. That's when we call it the secondary stage, when you've had it for those months and it can last for 6 months or more. Then if you continue to have it without knowing it's there, you can end up with what we call the latent stage and then the tertiary stage. And that's when it really does become bad news, because that's when it can get into those organs, as I mentioned earlier, and potentially cause, you know, lifelong disability or even death. So it's a very, very serious thing, and it moves through these stages. And what we really want to do is pick up this infection early and get people treated for it, because if you get treatment, you're not going to get any of those side effects whatsoever.
This all sounds like pretty worrying stuff. The way you're explaining it, how it can kind of progress into sort of a fatal disease, is very worrying. So what can people do to protect themselves from syphilis?
Yep, so the barrier methods for having safe sex that we encourage people to do are going to help prevent syphilis. So things like condoms or dental dams, for listeners that don't know what they are, that's a square piece of latex, if you like, or it's actually not latex, it's polyurethane, and you can use that for oral sex, because as I mentioned, syphilis can transmit through oral sex. So you can put this dental dam, as we call them, across the genital area when you're doing through the oral sex, so you've got a barrier there. And we'd always recommend using water-based lubricants. So there are those prevention strategies you can do. But apart from that, you know, the message is we really want people to have regular checks for sexually transmitted infections, and that would include a blood test for syphilis. And as I said, it's easily treated with some antibiotics. So if you are having a test and we find it, we can fix it before it's going to get to all those terrible stages. And the really important thing, as I mentioned before, is pregnancy. So nowadays, you know, all women that are pregnant should be tested for syphilis. That's often done initially when you first see your doctor or your midwife for your pregnancy. They should do it then. But, you know, as we know now, sometimes pregnant women are having different partners or multiple partners throughout the pregnancy. So if they're at that higher risk, they should be getting regular tests throughout the pregnancy. And sometimes that's even up to 5 tests throughout the pregnancy, because, again, we don't want to miss this. So testing, the barrier methods of, you know, protecting yourself from STIs, they're all really vital things to help prevent syphilis.
So testing is very important, and the Healthy Sexual Campaign is also highlighting that STIs like syphilis, HIV and gonorrhea are more common overseas. So what can people do to help protect themselves and their partners when travelling?
Yeah, so not only have we got the syphilis issues here, we've got the same issues in overseas countries in high rates, and as you mentioned, HIV and gonorrhea are quite common overseas as well. So when people go travelling, we always want them to use condoms if they're having sexual partners overseas where those high rates are. And we want people to preferably take their own condoms with them, because the condoms that you can buy in certain countries overseas are not always good quality. They don't go through all the testing mechanisms the condoms in Australia do, and sometimes they're really difficult to access as well. So they may not work particularly well, and there's no point wearing a condom if it's not going to work. So please take your own condoms with you, pack them in your suitcase when you go travelling. It's also worth having a chat to your doctor about HIV prevention. So we've got a strategy now called PrEP, which is taking medicine to prevent you getting HIV. So you can take the medicine every day or sometimes just before you have sex. And if you did get exposed to HIV, it would provide you some protection. So it's worth having a chat to your doctor if you're going to a country that does have high rates of HIV to look at whether you are eligible to take this medicine called PrEP. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. And the other really important thing is when you get back from your holiday, please come to a clinic or see your doctor for a test. Again, if we test you as soon as you're back and we pick up these things early, then we can manage them.
Open communication is so important in relationships. Why is it especially important to talk to your partners about sexual health?
Yeah, so as you said earlier, that, you know, the health department is now doing this campaign called Talk, Test, Protect. That's what we're promoting today. And so this ties in with that really nicely. So we want you to talk openly and honestly with your partners about your sexual health. We want you to talk about protecting yourself from STIs by using condoms or dental dams. We want you to talk to your partners about getting tested. Have you been tested? Both getting tested at the same time when you meet someone, or if you're having more casual partners, getting tested after, you know, regularly after you're having your casual partners, and obviously getting treated if you need to, if we find anything. You also, you know, it's really important, I think, to talk about what sort of relationship you're having. Is it an exclusive relationship where it's just the two of you, or are you having more of an open relationship where you might be having other partners? So if you can open up the dialogue around those things, it helps you decide what your risks are and, you know, how often you should be getting tested, obviously. And obviously, if you test positive for an STI, then we'll give you the treatment. But if we do our testing and we find a positive result, it's equally important to get your partners tested and treated as well. Otherwise, you can get reinfected. So we do a thing called contact tracing, where we make sure anyone with a positive result gets their partners tested and treated, or we can help them do that as well. We realise it's difficult to tell someone that you've got an STI, but telling your partners just keeps everybody healthy and safe and gives them the opportunity to get the treatment if they need that as well.
So, Donna, finally, honing in on the fact that it's so important to get tested, where can people go and get tested and treated?
Yep, sure. So there's the free clinics, and there's two of those in Perth. So there's one at Royal Perth Hospital called the Royal Perth Sexual Health Clinic. There's the one I work at Fremantle Hospital. We are called South Terrace Clinic. And then there's a couple of other areas that our clinics are free, the Perth one and the Fremantle one. And there's some other clinics that may have costs involved, but very cheap costs because they're non-government organisations. That Sexual Health Quarter in Northbridge. And then we've got the M Clinic in West Perth, which is exclusively for men who have sex with men. So there's quite a few specialised clinics you can go to. But of course, you can always see your local GP or any healthcare worker that does testing as well. So you don't necessarily have to come to the free clinics, but they are available if you want to access them. If you think you might have been exposed to HIV, you can also access treatment after an exposure. And this is called PEP. So this is post-exposure prophylaxis. So if you knew that someone you had sex with did have HIV, or you suspected they did, you can go on to medication for 4 weeks, and that can stop you acquiring the HIV, but you must get it within 72 hours of that sex. There's a fantastic line that you can ring to find out how you access that medication if you're concerned. That's the WA PEP line at 1300 767 161. And for any other information or really anything we've talked about today or to have a look at the campaign we're talking about, there's a great website with lots of sexual health information on it, and that is healthysexual.com.au.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us on The Record, Donna. We appreciate your time. I've learnt lots, and I'm sure our listeners have too, and I will definitely be reiterating where to go for more information. That's healthysexual.com.au. You can also check out the Healthy WA website, healthywa.wa.gov.au. Thanks again, Donna. We appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Have a great day.